We are three friends who are talking and learning from interesting people working in various industries, sharing their stories and journey so far. These are your hosts, Hiloni Punadar,
Atit Kothari,
and Tapan Desai.
And this is What The Hack. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any episodes. Welcome everyone. Today we have Daksha with us on our podcast. After doing his MBA from Indian Institute of Foreign Trade, he has worked as business operations manager and product manager in Aditya Birla Fashion Retail. And he's currently doing business development for Know My World, a nonprofit organization that supports teachers in transforming the education experience through holistic education and cultural competencies. He's also in the board of directors for Know My World. And he's also a podcaster, and he has this amazing show called Dollar Gujarati, which he hosts with his wife and Atit.
Thanks, Hiloni. Thanks for the very nice introduction. And I'm glad to be doing this with you all finally.
Awesome. And so happy to have you on the show.
Yeah. And What The Hat is an amazing, amazing podcast. And I think you guys have really hit the nail on the head with all the different aspects. I mean, with you know, stuff that people do after engineering. I think you guys are doing it. It's going to be a big, big platform someday.
Fingers crossed.
Thanks. Yeah. So, since we are talking about podcasts, let's directly jump into Dollar Gujarati. So, how did you come up with the idea, and like, how did it start? Talk to us about Dollar Gujarati.
It's a very messy start to it, I would say. So when I moved to the US after my marriage last year, I had written down a list of things that I wanted to try out. And the top item on that list was starting a Being Guju podcast. And I forgot all about that list for about 6 months. And then when COVID started and all the lockdown started, I was doing something else, and then I came back and I was having a chat with my wife Jaini, and we just opened up the list and we saw this was item number one. And a few weeks before that, I had spoken to Atit. That was also, so I'd spoken to Tapan, and then after Tapan I'd spoken to Atit, and then in a roundabout manner we had spoken about how he wanted to do a podcast, and I told him about my idea of Being Guju as a podcast. And we circled back, I think 4 weeks or something after that, we had another call, and he had already launched What The Hat by then. And I had already approached a few guests for Dollar Gujarati, for Being Guju. That was the original name. And yeah, the intent was that, I wanted to build my network in the US, and since I didn't have any kind of graduate degree from here and no relatives or friends, I mean, my friends were all in jobs, right? I didn't really have the network that you would have back in India. So I just thought, let's talk to some really cool Gujus who've done something really nice in their life in the US. And that's how the idea started.
And then coming from a biased opinion, but some of the guests that Dollar Gujarati has is pretty intense. Like they've achieved a lot in their life, and they have some amazing lessons to share.
Yeah, it was very, very unexpected, right? Like these guests, we really didn't expect to be talking to such successful people. Initially, I remember that my target was to have 5 episodes out, and I spoke to Atit, and he said that he's also, you know, interested in this idea, and he said that instead of thinking about 5, let's just do 1. Let's release the first episode and then see how it goes. And then I would say Jaini was very, very, like, very instrumental in getting us started, because I mean, I'm really lazy, and and Atit was busy anyways. Like, he has a lot of things going on in his life, so I don't think this podcast would have happened unless Jaini, you know, like pushed us in the start to at least get the first three episodes out. And then after that, then the momentum kind of caught on. Like we were like, oh, like, I mean, after Sam Pitrola, we can't drop the ball now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. I think I've heard some of them and I have really liked them. Being a entrepreneur myself, a Gujarati, and coming to the States, a lot of relatability and really good content. Obviously, everybody has had their journey in different time and different decade, but a lot to learn out of each of them.
Yeah, I think so. Like if you talk about learnings, I think this is the best value for money, value for time that you can ever get, right? Because these people, they are like storehouses of knowledge, learning, information, challenges, stories, and you are getting 1 hour to 2 hours of direct FaceTime with them, which, I mean, people who pay a lot of money to go to the best graduate schools also perhaps don't get access to this kind of information.
What were some of your favorite lessons from the podcast?
Yeah, so I think a common theme which I saw was that almost everyone has spoken about perseverance and hard work and having a positive attitude. And I think that's a Gujarati trait that has been instilled in us since childhood. It's like kaipan thai jaye positive rehvanu. And I hadn't internalized it till I started speaking with these people, and they are in no way related to each other except that they are in America and they're successful. And without fail, all of them have said that two aspects that have affected their success are a positive mindset and perseverance.
Yeah, just show up, just keep at it. You know, yeah. Most of them have multiple, like even Sam Pitrola, I don't know what, 14 companies he started and he's failed. Like that's just the ones that survived. There were so many others that didn't even survive. So he talks about that also. And yeah, but just keeping at it, I think that similar, like even I think that's the key takeaway from talking to all these guys. But yeah, let's take a step back. Actually, what happened after you graduated? Like, what did you do? Did you do like, did you work for a while or did you directly go for an MBA?
So if you want to start from the start, I think a lot of, like all of us have had some, like our ambitions somewhere has started from the college fests that were there. Mm-hmm. And for me also, it was the same. Like Pulse was a life-changing moment. 8 months, best 8 months of my life, I would say, in terms of learning and in terms of building confidence. That's actually where I realized that I'm not sure if I want to be a coder or a programmer. And so I kind of realized that my strengths lie somewhere else. So I started preparing for CAT and I also gave the GRE. So I was in the same boat, which I guess 95% of all engineering students in India go through, whether MS karna chahiye ki MBA karna chahiye. But because of my time at Pulse, I realized that I had some inclination towards management, business administration, marketing, consumer behavior. These are things that I enjoyed doing. So even my master's programs, they were not MS in CS. They were engineering management, or they were MS in integrated marketing communications. And in India, like, everybody knows, like, to get into a good marketing job, you need to go to a good MBA college, at least back then. So I got into colleges in India as well as the US. And at that time, my thinking was that, oh, I want to remain in India. I want to spend my life in India, you know, and the best thing to do, if that is the constraint, is to study in India. And so I had gotten into the Indian Institute of Foreign Trade, which is a great business school in India. It's in the top 10, and it was like a no-brainer to jump in there. I hadn't even sat for placements in college except for one company, which was a startup in Bombay, and that was the only interview I gave, and I got that job as well. It was a sales job. It would have been nice to, you know, perhaps work for a year or a couple of years before making this decision, but at that time I don't think I had enough information. So I jumped into my MBA and
So how did your like completed. MBA journey get impacted because of like directly starting right out of college and not taking that additional experience?
Because I had experience with Pulse, I think it kind of offset the WorkX thing. But I believe that if you have only been studying, then you won't get as much value out of the time you spend in the MBA. So either through internships or through extracurricular activities or through actual work experience, you should get some real life work experience before jumping into an MBA. I feel Pulse fulfilled that for me. So I was kind of happy. And I think I got what I wanted out of the MBA. But a lot of people who are freshers tend to be confused. And then the cycle in the Indian MBA works in such a way that you don't have time to think once you start your MBA. The first 3 months is perhaps the most hectic period that you'll ever face. And then you're appearing for interviews for your summer internship. And then your summer internship more or less decides which trajectory you're going to follow for your final placement. So there's not a lot of time to think once you start your MBA. And that's where I feel the biggest advantage of having some form of experience helps.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. At least I know even in the US, like there are people who are yet starting their coursework, but at the same time, their interviews have already started in the MBA school. So, I mean, that's how quick the transition is. And it's very important, I think, to know like where you want to specialize or what you want to dig deeper into, right?
Yeah, because an MBA kind of opens up a lot of career opportunities for you. Even during the MBA, there's so many things you can choose to spend your time in that you have to be eliminating stuff, that you have to say no to a lot of things. And unless you have a sense of direction, you might end up saying no to things that you like doing. And that might take your career trajectory in a completely different path. And also, like in the US, an MBA is used as a tool to change your career path. So it's like your trump card when you're playing cards, right? You play your trump card when you need to play it. In India, sometimes I feel that people play it a little early. So, for example, let's just take engineering as an example, right? So you guys are from IT, I'm from computers, very similar background. A lot of people enjoy programming and then they come here for masters. And then when they get into their jobs at Amazon and Google and any of these large companies, they realize that what they have learned during their 6 years of education was not really what happens on the job. Right? Like, oh, you've studied data structures and algorithms, but you're not building algorithms. You're writing product specs and you're writing, like there's a lot of user, debugging going on. There's a lot of minor stuff going on. Like you keep getting deeper and deeper into a technical system. And that's not what you thought you would be doing as an engineer. And you realize that, oh, a lot of product managers are doing that. A lot of system architects are doing that. Maybe you realize that, oh, like I liked studying computer engineering or IT because of the logic, but I don't like programming as a job. I liked it as a pastime. I liked it to do it for myself, but I don't like to do it for somebody else. Then you have the opportunity to, you know, work for a few years and then go for your MBA. So either after a BTEC or after an MTEC also, you can go ahead and do your MBA. But if you play your MBA card too early, there's very few options that you can do.
Maybe you can do another MBA.
You can do another MBA. Yes, that is true. But I mean,
you want to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, doing another MBA has its own, like as you grow older, you start having more constraints in life and the opportunity cost kind of keeps increasing. And like there's social pressure also, right? Oh, it's time to get married or if you're already dating or if you're already married, it's time to settle down. So age, like the people talk about time value of money, but like there's money value to time also, right? Like you're losing time. So 2 years of an MBA and then another 2 years of an MBA is 4 years which you could have avoided.
And just to circle back to like your experience in Indian MBA, you said the course was pretty hectic. And I mean, once you get out of that MBA, like what are general career options and then job options? And then what made you pick the one that you kind of took up as your job?
I mean, I knew I wanted to, so I knew I wanted to be somewhere in the P&L side. So general management, brand management, that was the kind of work I wanted in consumer products. And so I kind of focused all my experiences towards that. I think I had two finance courses as electives in my second year and that's it. So I kind of like stayed away from finance, which in hindsight, I don't know if it was the right thing to do, but yeah. So in marketing, if you have some amount of work experience and you have gone to a top 10 business school in India, you should try to get into an assistant brand manager position at an FMCG company. That's great. An area sales manager in an FMCG company is very well reputed. So I will talk about this in a reverse order, right? What do you learn on your first job? I think that makes more sense. A sales job is a skill that I think everyone should do sales for a couple of years. The skills that you pick up in sales, you will use throughout your life. Convincing people, the ability to manage people, understanding what drives other people. So there's a lot of people management involved in sales. How do numbers make sense in a businessy sort of way? Like what is a profit? What is a loss? When you're in sales, like it affects you daily because your incentives are linked to it, right? So you realize if I'm taking this particular action, is it going to affect my P&L? Is it going to affect my incentive? And how much is it going to affect? So you start making a distinction between, if I have 10 activities or 10 actions that I can take, how do I prioritize which action to take? Because everyone has limited time and resources and you can't really do all the things that you want to do. So how do you decide which things to say no to? Because they're not going to have as much of an effect on your end goal. So this is a little bit about sales. Branding and brand management are slightly different. It's more about understanding the consumer. It's more about figuring out what the consumer wants, like what is the job that your product is doing for the consumer? How do you decide what is your product mix going to be, like your different SKU? If you have a Vicks bottle, how many sizes are they going to come in? What is the labeling going to be? How is it going to be? What's the marketing campaign going around it going to look like? Who are you going to hire as a brand ambassador? What kind of media is this product going to be going on? Like earlier it would be, okay, let's do a TV commercial, but today it's, let's have something on TikTok. So a brand manager looks into all those kind of things. After an MBA, like the first thing you need to decide is what industry you want to get into, then what company, and then what function, and then what company. So those are three things that I would say that when you get into an MBA, decide, I mean, how much ever time it takes you to decide which industry you want to go into. General rules of thumb are that the industry should be growing. The industry should be young. Like it should not be run by really old people. Like the CEO should not be 70, 80, or the CEO should not be like a third or fourth generation CEO, right? It's best if the CEO is the founder of the company or one step removed from the founder. So those are good industries to get in because industries also have a life cycle. So the longer an industry has been around, I mean, there's two ways to look at it. Like the oil and gas industry has been around for ages. It will be around for ages. But there are some industries that have just come and died out. So figure out what job function you want to do, whether you want to in general be in finance, in general be in data, in general be in operations, or in general be in marketing. Because within marketing, you can jump from sales to marketing to product management to brand management. But it will be very difficult to get into investment banking. And if you want to do investment banking, then don't take your first job in sales.
And today only I heard an episode on Modern Wisdom, and Matthew Kobach was the guest, and he said like one advice that I would give myself 10 years like prior, like my younger self 10 years before, would be like, start your job with sales.
I think, Daksh, that's something that we actually did in our festivals. Also. Yeah. Like, how much ever we said it was sponsorship in the end.
Yeah,
we
were, I agree.
Selling.
We were
like,
selling,
you're
we were
out there making 500 calls and probably getting like two meetings and trying to crack as much as we could out of that.
Yeah, we call it sponsorship. And you were right. It was B2B sales, right? Our product was the fest, the events, the crowd that we were pulling.
Yeah, and I think even same, a lot of my CEO is also constantly like, every time you open a mouth, you show, even if you just show up to a party or to a gathering in front of another person, you're selling yourself. It's a signal. You need to learn that art.
And a very practical application of this is that anybody who is like any CEO or any senior executive at any firm has at some point had some form of sales experience, right? And you can reach a certain stage without having gone through some amount of selling. But then if you want to jump up, like if you want respect from the really top executives that, okay, this whatever this guy is saying has some weight, carry, like this person's opinion matters. It has to be grounded in some form of reality. And the best grounding happens in sales. And a smart tip for somebody who wants to do marketing, I would say do sales as your extracurriculars so that you don't have to do sales as a job. So start selling something when you're in engineering last year, when you know you've got your MBA, like you're going there in the next 6 months or 1 year, you know you have your seat finalized, sell something, like just buy something off of the retail market in Crawford Market and sell it on Amazon, or help your mom make chai masala and sell it to your housing society. Like just do sales when you're doing something else so that you don't have to do a sales job afterwards, because a lot of sales jobs are not sales jobs, they are people manager jobs also. And that is something that you'll take a lot of time to learn. And people management is something that you will get a lot of opportunities to learn.
But yeah, moving forward, I mean, MBA in India, work experience in India, fast forward, now you're in the US and you are working with Know My World. What got you into that from being working for them and supporting a nonprofit to also being a director there?
Yeah, you're on the board of directors there, right? So how was that process? Did you get elected? Did you get selected? How does that work?
So two things I would say led to this. One is serendipity. And the other is that you don't really know how it all connects. You only know when it connects backwards. So how it started? It started in my MBA. We go through a lot of competitions. So one such competition was floated to us as a batch, and the deadline was like 2 days or something. And I think I was the only one who ended up submitting an entry for that competition because people didn't really understand what the competition was. It was a competition conducted by the International Franchisee Association based out of the US. And this was the first year that they were having the competition, and they only wanted ideas based on the franchising business model. And I submitted an idea based on the franchising business model, and I got selected, and they flew me to the US to attend a convention out here. And that's where I met another competition winner. Her name was Lisa Petro, and she was the founder of Know My World. And we instantly hit it off because I have over the years developed a liking for education as a sector. And I had some opinions, I had some thoughts, I had given it a lot of thought of how education should be done, how teachers need to have more resources on how to teach better. And so we just hung out a lot during those 3 days in Las Vegas. And when I went back to my MBA, I kind of was looking for some kind of extracurricular project, right? Because my internship was over and I still wanted to get some more hands-on work. So I reached out to her and asked her if she has any projects. And she said that, yeah, she's been struggling with figuring out a business model for Know My World's free exchanges, right? Because a lot of schools are not able to afford it. There are some, there's different levels of schools also. So a lot of schools are able to afford it. Some schools are not able to afford it. So she wanted to, and those, and the schools that can't afford it are really the ones that need some sort of help with education. So what Know My World does is it does digital cross-cultural exchange programs. And just like how you go on an exchange program from any university to another country, similarly, they do the same thing, but as digital experiences. So somebody in Alaska is talking to somebody in South Korea and they're exchanging their cultural roots. And these are kids aged 5 to 15, right? And a lot of them have don't even know what a country is. Sometimes they don't know what is global, what is international, and there are other types of people. So it helps in developing a lot of global empathy, that there are people who are vastly different from you. And if you get that opportunity as a child, it's life changing. I've had the opportunity to travel to a few countries over the years, and the way people think and the way the cultures are, the way things work, everything is different. The food is different. The language is different. People's aspirations are different. People's social structures are different. The currencies are different. The things that you can buy with those currencies are different. So there's a lot of differences. And Know My World wanted to bring that in a more affordable form to schools who could not afford to pay for it. So she said, okay, this is a project. Why don't you help me out? So I started working on it when another friend of mine from my B school, his name is Rahul Pawar. So we took this up as a sort of internship, you could call it. And we started talking to schools in different countries. And we figured out that, okay, you know, like teachers want to do this and parents kind of want us to do this, but school administrators and even parents to a certain extent were not willing to endorse anything that did not directly help in the academic result of the students. And like, they did not want to pay for anything. It's great if you can do it, like, but do it for free. So we found out, now my Pulse experience comes into the picture, that sponsorships really help. Right. At that time, I didn't really know what an ad-based business model was. But sponsorships is, in essence, an ad-based business model. So we found edtech companies to sponsor these digital exchanges. The only thing that Know My World had to do was incorporate those edtech platforms into the curriculum. And for Know My World, it didn't really matter because the content of the program was more important. So whichever platform we used, it was so okay.
What is an example of a ed tech platform?
PictoChart. I don't know if you guys have heard of PictoChart. It's a company based out of Malaysia. So they were our first sponsor. And they sponsored these digital exchange programs. And this sort of became like a smaller program that was offered by Know My World, which was based on sponsored digital exchange programs, and a limited number of schools could participate because the money was limited. The money went towards facilitators. So facilitators are people who enable these exchanges, right? Like, they work with the teachers to decide what the students are going to do and help the teachers figure out, you know, like what would be the curriculum. In effect, and they're the project managers of this exchange. So it goes, so this money went towards paying their salaries. And so we worked out that business model, and Know My World ran that sponsorship business model for 3 years. And I kept in touch with Lisa Petro after my MBA got over as well. And then, so earlier Know My World was a for-profit organization, but in 2017 is when they pivoted to a nonprofit. So from a for-profit, they went to a nonprofit, and they were looking out for board members. And because of the work that I had done with this sponsorship-based campaign, they invited me to join the board. And So board of directors generally wants, you need to have a diverse board, diverse set of board of directors. They had somebody from an accounting background. They had somebody from an education background. They had somebody from a startup background. Most of these people were above the age of 35. I was 23 at that time. And so they didn't have a perspective on a young person, and they didn't have a perspective of someone from outside the US. So all their board members were from the US, except for me and one other person who was from Vietnam. So to bring in that diversity, they needed somebody who was not from the US and who was younger. And that's how I got the opportunity to be on the board.
Nice. So what do you have to do as a board member? Do you have to attend meetings?
As a board member, like my duties were to advise on like what kind of new programs can we start and any kind of marketing initiatives that we can take for markets outside the US. As board members, you can also participate in smaller committees, which are more hands-on, and they are taking care of the execution of that particular, whatever the committee is for, that particular program.
Cool. Let's change the gear a little bit. So you got you got married. Did you guys move together to the US? Or I think Jenny was in US before you guys got married. Like, what was the story?
Yeah, this is it's a planted question. So anybody who knows me, that I've been in a long distance relationship for a long, long time. So I met my now wife, Jaini, in 11th and 12th standard in junior college in Mumbai. And we've been dating since then. And the thing is that with careers and education today, like sometimes you are not in the same city. And so we were in a long distance relationship for a long, long time. After engineering, she moved to the US for her master's and I went for my MBA in India. And the funny thing is that she really didn't want to go to the US and I wanted to go to the US. So I kind of convinced her to give the GRE and apply to colleges, and I didn't end up going and she did. So there's a lot of irony there. But then it was tough. And to all the folks out there who are in long distance relationships or will be in long distance relationships, it sucks. There's nothing good about it. And please try your best to avoid it at all costs. The only silver lining is that if you know that it's going to be for a limited amount of time, say till the time the person finishes their education or maybe a couple of years of job, which will have a significant impact on their career, go for it, but go for it with kind of like a deadline in mind if you want to get married. If you don't want to get married, I mean, then you have a decision to make. For us, I had kind of made that decision that we would probably break off. But then Jaini told me that she's going to come back after her master's immediately. So I said, "Theek hai, abhi wapas aa rahi hai, toh theek hai." That doesn't happen. Things change, circumstances change, ambitions change. So she started her job there and I started my job in India. And then the next couple of years was just spent in figuring out how am I going to go there or how is she going to come here. And it's not an easy decision in today's environment because of the massive visa restrictions that are there on Indians in the US. So if you guys plan to be together, my suggestion is both of you all should travel to the US together, because then you have the option of going back to India whenever. But if one is in the US and one is in India, it's very difficult to then make that transition. And especially if you've got a second degree in India, very difficult to make that transition. But anyways, for me, I came here to the US on an H-4 visa, which is a dependent visa. I had worked for 3 years in Aditya Birla. I anyways wanted to take a break. I had some ideas which I wanted to try out. I wanted to experience how it is like living in the US. So I made this transition. Having done this as well, this is... And I think this transition of putting your career on a pause while giving priority to your personal life is a very difficult one, but it is far, far more easier than being in a long distance relationship. So if you guys are sure to anyone who's listening, I don't know who will benefit from this, but like, if you are sure of your partner, figure out how you're going to be in the same city in the next 6 months to 1 year. Everything else will get figured out. And I think that's the most important thing.
Wow. I'll actually second you on that for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, Hiloni has also faced it, I think, for almost the same amount of time as I have. And she's also made the transition. And
it's totally worth it.
Another aspect of this is that, like, nowadays parents are becoming more open to, you know, like, love marriages, I feel, because arranged marriages are becoming far harder. So this was a problem that I also faced, that, I mean, parents, culture, not the same caste, not the same religion. This is the, like, I don't think this will ever be rid of this if we are Indians. But at the same time, I would say that parents are becoming more open. And as you grow older, they start respecting your point of view a lot more. So if your parents are saying no to certain things at the age of 18, it's not necessary that they'll say no to the same thing when you're 26. So have the confidence or the belief that your parents will agree, and keep that at the back of your mind. I don't know who this will help again, but it's something sometimes somebody needs to tell you.
If you had to, like, go back in time and give an advice to your younger self, what would it be?
Very difficult question. Buy Tesla, man. Like, even 6 months back. but on a serious note, I would say, like, for me personally, I would have gone back and said, like, do more internships, do more real life stuff rather than just studying. And I think this is another thing, like, have a hobby, like either a sport or an instrument or something that involves doing. My hobby is reading, so I love it. But I do feel that if you have like a hobby that involves doing something and with some other people, like, you end up building a different brain muscle. So that's something that I would tell myself.
Cool. Awesome. So what's next for you? What are you excited about these days?
Right now it's Dollar Gujarati. And I've been Dollar Gujarati was a project with you, Atit. And there's another project that I'm running with another friend. So what excites me today is that I have some free time in my life, and I'm connecting with my old friends like you guys, and I'm looking to, you know, do some smaller projects. So that's what excites me. And if any of your listeners, you know, like, they're interested in doing a project, leave me a message on, I don't know, LinkedIn or email, and perhaps we can do a small project together. I'm really, really interested in tech, but not on the technology side of it, but on how tech influences human behavior. So that's the kind of space that I am really excited about. And we've spoken about this, Atit, right? Like, what are the technologies that excite you? Right? And for me, it is voice apps, voice control with Alexa, Siri, Google Assistant, with the AirPods coming out, natural language processing, having these chatbots, having IVRS systems. It's very irritating today to talk to an IVRS system, but that's where all of industry is heading. So that's a space that I'm very interested in.
Awesome. I think we can.
So before we move on, like, who came up with the name Dollar Gujarati?
All of us.
Okay.
And it wasn't the first name. The first name was Being Guju. Then we were told that Guju is derogatory. I mean, when all Gujus are there, we call each other Guju. But then, like, if someone from outside calls us Guju, it's derogatory. So we changed it to Being Gujarati. And then he said, like, Being Gujarati is very, like, it's not narrow enough. Right? Like, what do you mean? Like, is it culture? Like, is it food? Is it, like, dandiya, ghatia? What is it? So then we said, no, we want to, like, we're in America, all three of us. And so it should be American Gujarati. So now American Gujarati was what we started off with. Our first three recordings were with American Gujarati. And then I don't know which of us came up with, like, American is okay, but like our thing is also entrepreneurship and business and money. And American is included in the word dollar. So dollar has American as well as money inside itself. So let's call it Dollar Gujarati. And then, like, I think all three of us immediately agreed, okay, Dollar Gujarati is very, very catchy. And that name stuck. But one advice, don't let choosing a name stop you from starting something. Change the name later. It doesn't matter.
So yeah.
If you know, so you've had Virang also on your podcast, right? Like, so PicoStone was not the original, like, not the name with which he started his company. It was called Quark. And then Quark evolved into PicoStone. And now everybody only remembers PicoStone. So change the name.
Awesome. Let's move on to our next segment. It's called the top three. And we would love some recommendations from your end. Starting with, since you already said you are an avid reader, I think this one's going to be an easy one for you. Which are the top three books that you would recommend? And which is the one book that you have gifted the most and why?
Actually, it's one of the most difficult questions for me because I like so many books.
That's what I was going to say. If you like, if it's an avid reader, then like this is the most difficult question you can ask. One book in every genre.
My God. So if you like science fiction, I think the Foundation series is actually the foundation of science fiction. If you haven't read it, like, read. Please read Foundation. Also, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is very, very humorous. So read that. In fantasy, so I used to read a lot of fantasy when I was growing up. I'm sure like Harry Potter is something that everybody recommends, but there's this series called the Bartimeus Trilogy. It's about a genie and a wizard who like conjures genies, and it's very humorous. So that's a series that I would recommend in fantasy. In nonfiction, I would strongly recommend like Poor Charlie's Almanac. Which is, all, I think, one of Atit's favorite books as well. And I mean, like in nonfiction, there's a ton of books. I don't think I can choose anymore. But so let's go with these three. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Bartimeus Trilogy, and Poor Charlie's Almanac.
Yeah, anything to do with Charlie Munger, I'm game. Yeah. Okay, so moving on, top three movies, TV show recommendations.
Movies I really liked. I mean, I'm sure all of these people, like everyone would have seen these movies like Inception and Interstellar. I think you guys will start seeing a pattern here now with sci-fi. There were these three movies, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight. They're really nice movies, like... for somebody they're rom-coms. But they're very nice. It's the same set of actors who come back to shoot the sequel and then the next sequel after a 10-year gap. So three movies, same actors, but 10-year gaps in between them. So you can see the same actors aging. I would also recommend everyone to watch 12 Angry Men. It's a black and white movie from God knows when, but it gives you a great perspective on human biases and how you need to, like, when you're in any decision making position, why you need to account for those biases, because your decision could decide somebody else's life.
Top three podcast or YouTube channel recommendations:
Dollar Gujarati, What the Hat, and Cold Brew Money.
Yeah, very self-serving.
Hari Productions.
That brings us to the end of our show. This has been a brilliant conversation. So much to learn and so much to know from you. And a special shout out to the podcast Dollar Gujarati. Everybody out there wanting to know about entrepreneurs successful in US, this is the podcast and the show. Go to show. And thank you again for being part of What the Hat.
Thanks, guys, for having me. And I do hope that this conversation helps someone somewhere sometime. and keep doing this. And looking forward to having you guys on Dollar Gujarati also soon.
Hopefully we'll be successful enough to meet the criteria.
You guys are on the path.
And when you plan on moving outside of US, I might be able to.
No, we want to expand Dollar Gujarati to Pound Gujarati and whatnot.
So that's about it, folks. We will be back next week with another guest and another story. We would love to hear your thoughts about the episode. Feel free to reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. You can just search What The Hat Podcast. Also, subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castbox, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast from, so you never miss out on the next episode. This is Hiloni, Atit, and Tapan signing off, and this was What The Hat.